Amen. Are you glad to be here?
Amen.
This is your help, by the way, now. Right now is your help. This is where, you know, what's supposed to happen is the preacher waits on God, hears from heaven on what to share, and then comes and relays it to the people, and we walk out of here changed, because when God says stuff, it blesses us.
Amen.
Praise His name. Well, let's pray and believe Him for utterance and help this morning. Father, help us. We thank You for Your mercy and Your goodness. Thank You for all that You've done for us. Thank You for all that You've given to us. Father, for all the blessings that we have because of You. Father, where would we be without You? Lord, we're so thankful and so grateful. Now, Father, help us this morning. Lord, I mean this when I say it. It is a humbling thing to be in front of such precious people, not only that I love, but, Father, that You gave everything for, to be able to share Your word with them. Now, Father, I know myself and who I am, and I don't have anything special to offer people. I don't have any extraordinary gifts and talents naturally that could help people. But Father, through You we can do all things. And Father, so I thank You the anointing that's on my life. And as I open my mouth, words from heaven will come out. I will speak as the oracles of God. And Father, I thank You I will hit bullseyes in people's hearts. People will be here today that I have no idea about their situations and things that they're going through. I had no idea they would be here today, things that they're facing. And Father, You're going to say things through me that are going to help them. And they're going to be shocked and amazed and think, how did he know to say that? But Father, the truth is only You did. But Lord, You're faithful. You love us and You want to help us. This is how You get our help to us. So Father, we thank You this morning. We give You all the praise. Father, we give You all the glory for everything we're about to say and do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. You can go to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Last night as I was sitting in the office at Olean getting ready to minister, I love when God does this to me because I think He has a sense of humor. I'm sitting in my office and I have a whole page of notes, you know, on my iPad that I had meditated on and had followed the unction up until that point in my heart of what to share. And I don't know, it was about 10 minutes before service and the Spirit dropped in me, preach faith tonight. Okay, well, what would You like me to preach, Lord? I know faith, you know, and so I came out there with my notes from last Sunday's service just and didn't end up talking about anything about last Sunday's service. Preached a whole other, different message on faith out of my heart from the Holy Ghost. But I woke up this morning with that same unction that we're to share on faith. And you know, the faith message is one of the messages that get challenged the most, not only in my own head and my mind and my thinking. But you get such pushback from people because a lot of people grow up in religious settings and situations where they're not taught this kind of stuff. The word, you know, I grew up in them, she grew up in them. A lot of you have told me you grew up in them, and you hear these things for the first time, and it totally goes against everything you've been taught or thought. Even though what we've taught or have thought, we never had verses or scripture for. We were just taught and thought them, and so we accepted them. That's dangerous. You don't ever listen to what anybody says or just what you think or what... You go by what the Word says.
Amen.
And I remember one time a person got critical of me and said, well, all you do is preach faith. And I said, well, that's not true, but... I said, if it was, this would be a good place to come to church.
Amen.
Because the Bible says without faith you can't overcome. Without faith you can't receive the promises of God. Without faith you can't please God. Without faith you can't quench the fiery darts of the wicked. That's 1 John 5 and verse 4, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, and Hebrews 11 and verse 6, if you need it. Say, what are you trying to show off with your knowledge of verses? No, I'm trying to show you that what I say doesn't come from me. It's all backed up in the Word. But that's what the Word says about faith. And so I said to that person, I said, well, this would be a good church to come to, because I said, then all I do is teach people how to overcome. All I do is teach people how to receive the promises of God. That darn pastor I am. I mean, I said, all I do is teach people how to please God and quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Poor you to have to come to this church. I know I can be sarcastic at times, but I'm serious. That's the most ridiculous. All you preach is faith. Well, if that's all I preach, you're in a good place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And my hope today would be that whether you're seasoned in this stuff, whether you're green in this stuff and don't know very much, that it would stir something in you, because even as of last night, the faith level on the inside of me and what I'm reaching for and and grasping for has gone up notches. And I hope that it would stir you to do the same thing, to reach and excel for something that we can have. You know, and here's, I'll explain what I'm saying here and get to what I want to share this morning. You know, I got saved as a 23-year-old old young man at 17 years ago, you know, January 10th, 2002, I got born again. And, you know, I was thrilled because to be right with God finally in my life. You know, when you get born again, you're right with God. The Bible says before you're saved, your enemies, while you're in the devil's kingdom, God loves you, but your enemies, and spiritually speaking, your darkness. And you get born again, your light. So I was thrilled to be right with God. And of course, I was thrilled to be forgiven with a laundry list of things I had in my past. My goodness, to know that the blood could wash it all away, I'll take it. And to know that I could go to heaven, I mean, you think about the security that heaven brings you when you go to sleep at night or when the world looks so chaotic and unpredictable and you know, my eternity's set. I know where I'm going, praise God. I'm so thankful for that. But shortly after I got saved in January, I was exposed to a gentleman by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin is what I call my spiritual great-grandpa. He was a minister in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who's now with Jesus, went home to be with the Lord in 2003. And, you know, we've read a lot of his books and followed his ministry a little bit. And again, it's not about following him, it's about following his message, which was always the Word of God. Regardless of what people said, if you looked at what he said and looked at what his book said, you never find anything that was outside the boundaries of God's Word. That's why he was so successful. That's why he had such a worldwide ministry and is responsible for so many churches and ministers. And without him, I wouldn't be here today. Without him, the family churches wouldn't be in existence. And I got exposed to his testimony of how God raised him from his deathbed when he was a young man and he had an incurable heart condition. And how God raised him up and completely healed everything and set him free. You know, it was quite a marvelous testimony. But it wasn't that God moved on his life that intrigued me. It was how he told the story of how he got God to move on his behalf. And, you know, I've been fascinated with how of getting God to move ever since. You know, I became hooked on it because he credited that to the force of faith. Well, what I saw was a man who was dealt something in life that looked like hell on earth that, you know, sometimes you get a bad hand when you play cards. In life, sometimes you get dealt a bad hand. Things with family, things with finances, things in your body, things at jobs, different things. And you get dealt this, and you have to, you know, what do they say? You got to play with the hand that you're dealt with. That's true in the world, but it's not true with the things of God. Because he was dealt with an incurable heart condition that alters the way you got to play life. And you go forward a certain way in that, and your life is now dictated by this, and this is what's going to happen. But the force of faith changed that situation and made it completely different. Amen. And so from that point on, and hearing that testimony, something went off on the inside of me. And what's interesting is Brother Hagin was told, that's a term of endearment, by the way, Brother Hagin, not being disrespectful to him, but he was told by the Lord, go teach my people faith, and he did that for years to millions of people. Well, it's interesting, when I read his testimony, I can't tell you what went off on the inside of me concerning faith and how thrilled I was with the subject and the topic, and I began to dive in and study faith and study what the Bible says about faith and the people that received by faith, what Jesus said about faith, what the Word says about faith, what other people that have gone before me that know what they're doing, how they were affected in faith, and it's just become the number one subject I study by far in the Bible. And it's interesting, when I was on a walk with my dog, who's now, as we like to pray every night, playing ball with Jesus. That's what our little girl prays every night. We thank you that Riggies is in heaven playing ball with Jesus. I was on a walk with her, and the Lord said, this church, you'll major in the teaching of faith and love. Amen. That's what he said to me. You'll major in faith. Well, I guess that didn't surprise me, because that was what I was thrilled with. I was thrilled with the topic of faith. Thrilled with this idea that you don't have to be stuck where you're at. That life can say something, but God can say something different, and it can turn into what God says. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, I don't believe that we've even scratched the surface of this church, and in your personal life, of all that faith can accomplish for you. I believe there are realms and depths of faith that we have to push for and grasp and reach for. Paul said, reaching forward, pressing unto those things that are before. That if we'll get stirred in this area of faith and begin to get a fire lit under us and to go in that route, the things that are awaiting us through the force of faith, I don't even believe we can comprehend with our minds how good it can be. Now, the verse that I'll share with you is Mark 9:23. He said this, he said, Jesus said, if you can believe. Well, what's belief? Belief is faith. Notice what Jesus said. If you can believe. He puts the responsibility of the believing on who? Us, not him. He says, not just a few things are possible. All things are possible. Well, what's all things? That's a high ceiling. We've not even come close to the ceiling of what our faith can produce and bring into our life if we actually can get into that kind of belief. He says, all things are possible. So, what I like to say concerning this verse is those things that you're faced with, like Kenneth Hagin was faced with. And you know, I think about my own life and looking back at how I got born again, became a child of God January 10th, but the only thing that really changed was my peace of mind, knowing I was going to heaven. I was still sick in my body. I was still broke in my finances. I was still depressed in my mind. I was still oppressed in different areas, and those things didn't change. And I got a hold of this message of faith and started to apply faith to each one of these things and to see how they were totally changed. How years of something became a brand new day and going forward simply because faith was applied. Amen. And I became fascinated and thrilled with it. But what Jesus is saying in this verse is anything is possible if you can believe it. So it's not up to God whether or not we reach the ceiling and explore and uncover everything that he has for us in this life and go into the Ephesians 3:20 realm. What's the Ephesians 3:20 realm? Above all that you could ever ask or even think. The Bible says God is able to do unto you exceeding abundant above all that you could ever ask or think. He says, I want to do for you what your mind can't even comprehend. Amen. What you wouldn't even think to dare ask me because it's so big and so wonderful. I want to do that for you. Amen. That's what he says. And we know it comes through faith. And we'll show you some things here today that will help you. Even some fresh revelation I got on this stuff. But I think of my own life and how faith, basically I'll say it this way, it changed my world. Amen. I don't know what your life dealt you here today. I don't know everybody's story. I don't know everybody's situation. But you don't have to play with the hand that's dealt you and be stuck with that. Well, I'd like some new cards, but I can't get new cards. You can with faith. Amen. You get a whole new deck of cards. Amen. Amen? You can. And you say, well, Pastor, that sounds all good, but if you're smart, what you'll say is you need to prove that to me by the word. And then I'll say back to you, that's wise and smart of you. And I'm glad you asked me to do that. Give me a chance and I will. I'm about to do that, praise God. And so I want to stir something in you to get you to reach. You might say, well, Pastor, you taught on faith. We've learned faith. No, I'm talking about going into realms and believing God for things for this church. You know, we're believing for signs, wonders, and miracles around here. You know, we've had a few recently. But you know what the Lord said to me? He said, it's been happening long before it was publicly announced. And he started to point out different things that's happened through this ministry. Jake, you got two babies coming out of this ministry that the doctor said his wife never could have. Amen. Miracles. Amen. Julie is doing our children's church in this ministry. She'll testify to this. She was cured of fibromyalgia and asthma. Medication galore, come to the ministry, learn about God, get her healing. Amen. And I could go on and on and on and on and on and on about testimonies of different people and said stuff to me. People, one testimony, and I just don't have the release to share their name, just like the one with the issue of blood. Incurable blood condition, completely cured and set free in this church. Yeah, those things happen. Heart conditions, people told they need brand new hearts, cured here. So I'm talking about not just believing for our personal lives, but actually reaching forth to be the Book of Acts type church that really existed. Where it was commonplace to bring the lame in, to bring the sick in, and expect that they're going to walk out changed. Well, that takes a level of belief in God. Hallelujah. It was Norval Hayes, who used to run with Brother Hagin, an older gentleman, he's now passed. He was with another minister, and they saw a crippled, lame person walking across the crosswalk, the street, in their lifetime condition, you know, like that. And the person said, what would it take for that person to get healed? To Norval Hayes, because Norval Hayes has been around the block, knows some things. He said, what would it take for that person to get healed? And he said, somebody that's willing to pay the price. See, to get into the realms of believing for our families and believing for our personal lives and to see God move, it's going to take people reaching for things. And I hope that this message stirs you, because these things don't automatically fall into our laps. Amen. Amen. Faith is all about contacting God. That's what it is. Go to James chapter 1 and verse 6 real quick. James chapter 1 and verse 6. I want to stir you in this area to be a faith student, to be so hungry for faith that you start devouring things on faith. And then you bring that faith not only to your family, but you bring it to this church. And we actually see the wonders and the works of God. Because we're a church body that believes Him for the impossible.
Amen.
Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 6 says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. But look at verse 7, it should alarm you. For let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Now I know, because I fight against this all the time when I preach. I was in a service last night in Olean, and I preached on faith, and it was one of the hardest plowing messages that I've ever had to preach, and it kept me up most of the night, just battling the arrows that just were flung at me from the things that were said, because you're trying to, things are about to break there, and we're trying to break through new ground, and the devil's just right there.
Yeah.
Right there. Not that we're afraid of him, but he's real.
Yeah.
And he's trying to keep us out. Why? Faith terrifies him.
Yeah.
Without going there, as one of the scriptures I spouted off there, Ephesians 6 and verse 16 says, the shield of faith will quench the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked, the devil can't get past the shield of faith. No wonder the devil hates faith. You know why the devil preaches against faith and puts thoughts in people's head to fight against the faith message? Because if he can get people to stop preaching faith, people will stop believing and living faith. If people stop believing and living faith, they put their shield down and he's got access to them. Absolutely. And so I know what I'm dealing with. I preach this stuff. People come out of religious backgrounds. And the one of the most common ideas in Christianity and that runs rampant through the body of Christ is that God can do whatever God wants to do. And that if God's going to heal you, it's just going to be up to Him and His sovereignty. If God's going to bless you. And then people sit back and they don't do anything. And then nothing happens and they say, sovereignty of God, sovereignty of God, woo! They get all religious, sovereignty of God, and they're just speaking ignorance. Let not the man think he'll receive anything from the Lord that what? Doesn't ask in faith, the verse before tells us. So God tells us, just like he told us in Mark 9:23, the Bible always lines up together. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you'll believe it, it's possible. Well, you can say it the other way. If you can't believe it, it's not possible. Same here. Verse 6 says, ask in faith. If you ask in faith, you'll receive. If you don't ask in faith, you won't receive. That doesn't sound like sovereignty of God. And whatever God wants to do, God's going to do. No. We have a part to play. It's called faith. And I'm going to show you. Faith is about contacting God. You want to contact God, you've got to be in faith. Go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. I'm talking about crazy faith. Daring to believe God for the impossible. I mean, just daring to step out. And you know what crazy faith is? It's standing at the Red Sea and smacking the water with the stick. That's crazy faith. That's crazy faith. Hallelujah. You know what crazy faith is? Running As a 16-year-old boy, probably, as a shepherd boy, running towards a champion of war in Goliath, running towards him, saying the whole time, "I'm going to cut your head off." That's crazy faith. That's crazy faith. Praise God. You know what crazy faith is? When you're 100 years old, your name's Abraham, and you're telling people, "Get ready for my son that's coming. Get ready. Oh, Sarah, go paint the nursery up. Get ready, honey." That's crazy faith. That's crazy faith. Crazy faith is building a boat that took how many decades when it hadn't rained in that area. And he's sitting there and building that, and people are mocking him. That's called crazy faith. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. Crazy faith produces crazy results. Crazy good results. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, and I want to show you some things here about contacting God. Because we all need a contact from Him, don't we? Why? A touch from heaven changes everything. A touch from heaven changes your whole world, your whole life. Think about the people in the Word that had a contact or a touch from heaven, and everything changed. People that couldn't have babies had babies. People that were thrown into situations where they should have been killed were kept and preserved. It's true. Why? They contacted Him. They learned a secret, praise God. And I'm going to show you the secret code here today of contacting God. Because the things that we're facing that are impossible and tough, all it needs, see, because here's what I think we would all agree on. What you're facing is not too hard for Him. Would you agree with that? Most people know God can, and that He's big enough, praise God. And so we know if it's not too hard for Him, then we need Him to deal with it. We need Him to reach down and take care of that thing. That's what I'm trying to help you with today. Getting a contact or a touch from heaven. Because what you're going to see today is even though He wants to, He doesn't just sit up in heaven and just any, mini, miny, mo His power to anybody. But that's what the world and religion will teach you, and people sit back and say, "Where's my any, mini? When can I be the catch the tiger by the toe? I want to be the one, Lord. Why is so-and-so always getting it?" Well, it's up to you. Well, let's prove it by the Bible, because don't believe some crazy short guy up here. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Mark 5 verse 25 says, "A certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years." Now let's see how bad she was. "Suffered many things of many physicians." What does that mean? She kept going from doctor to doctor to doctor to find out what was wrong with her. When you're sick in body and incurable, you're desperate. And the Bible says she spent all she had. What's that mean? Now she's broke. Not only is she sick, but she's broke. Why? Trying to get her fixed, and it's not working. "Was nothing better, but rather grew worse." She's in a bad spot, isn't she? Verse 27 says, "When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment." Now there's so much that I could say about that that could be preached on. I'll just mention it. In this day and age, a woman with a condition of a blood condition was considered unclean. Read the Old Testament. This is written in the New Testament, but it's actually Old Testament time still. What do you mean? Well, Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. They're still operating under Old Testament law. Well, Old Testament law say, well, if you have a blood condition, you go out in public, you have to shout, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Why? So nobody else would touch you. Because if you bump into somebody who's unclean, then that makes that person that bumped into the unclean one have to go through a ceremonial pain in the butt ritual of cleansing. So not only does she have to go out in public and yell unclean, how shameful and embarrassing. That's what we should do when we walk through the door. We should tell everybody our stuff. Oh, that'd be fun, right? That's what she would have to do. "This is what I got wrong with me. This is what I got wrong with me. Unclean. Stay away from me. Don't want to touch me. I'm dirty. I'm gross. Stay away." That's what she had to do. How terrible for her. So to even get out of her house that day was a challenge. And then there's a crowd of Jesus. The Bible says here in a minute that there was multitudes that thronged Him or grasped at Him. She had to fight through the crowd as a woman who was weak and broke and sick to get through the mass of people to get to Jesus. One characteristic about faith that most Christians do not have is a don't quit attitude. Faith doesn't know that word. Faith doesn't know I can't. Faith is always driving forward. And so the Bible says she pressed behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway or immediately the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now this is what I want to start getting into to show you the details of something. To start maybe smashing down walls of religion and building you up. Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, that word virtue in the Greek is the word power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Jesus recognized something just flowed out of me. Yeah. But this is what I want you to see. His disciples, verse 31, said, you've lost your mind, sir. You want us to know who touched you? You see the multitude. Well, how many people? Well, we don't know, but we know he one time had him sit down in columns of 50s for 5,000, a feeding of 5,000. And that just mentioned the men, didn't even mention the women and the children. We know thousands followed him where he went. So who knows how many people? She's fighting through in a crowd. I remember, you know, coming out, I used to love coming out of when it was Rich Stadium as a young child. We had season tickets. And I used to love it because I'd pretend I was Thurman Thomas. And I would get out and I'd look at my dad. I'd go to Rich Stadium every week. You know, every other, you know, whenever Bills, at least 8 times a year, you know, and in the playoffs during the glory days. Ah, the glory days. And I'd get out and I'd look up at my dad. He'd say, go ahead. Because he knew I knew right to where to get to where we parked, knew where to go and everything. And I pretend I was Thurman Thomas running and weaving through that crowd. And I think about that woman in that press and how busy it is coming out of that stadium and how many people there are and how packed it is. And here she's pressing through to get to, he's up there somewhere. And all these people touching Jesus, and he says, who touched me? And they say, Lord, you see all these people are touching you, and you're asking us who touched you? That's kind of a crazy question. But he knew something was different about one touch. Now, here's what I want you to see before I go forward, is that we know she was a sick woman. Let me ask you a question. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us here, but we can make a very good, we can come to a pretty good conclusion that what I'm about to say is true. I'm guessing in the multitude that followed him on this day, there are plenty of sick people. We know why, because he go other places and heal multitudes of people. We know. I'm betting on this road this day, there are people that, plenty of people that needed a touch from God. Right? Whether it be in their mind, in their body, in their emotions, in their finances, in their family. They needed help. That's why they're chasing him down, because that guy's help. Right? But here's what I want you to notice. All these people touching Jesus, that's what she wanted to do, was touch Jesus. All these people that had a need, all these people that were hurting, all these people that were facing hell on earth, and Jesus only recognizes one of them and only feels power go out of himself to only one of them. Well, if we stop right there, we would think that God picks and chooses who to display his power to. But we know God's no respecter of persons. We know that God's promises are for everybody. They're yes and amen. And so, what is it, Lord? What is it? Well, look at verse 32. He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, verse 33, knew what was done in her and came down and fell before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith made you whole. Amen. Or you can say it this way, daughter, your faith changed your whole world. Changed your whole world. What did I say early on? Brother Hagin chalked up faith to changing his whole world. What did I tell you about my life? I can't imagine what my life would be like had I not learned faith and applied faith to situations which changed my whole world. Jesus didn't say like most religion would tell us, thank your lucky stars, lady, that I'm here. Or today's your lucky day. Or today God has shined his happy face upon you. No. What got her to be able to feel a touch or be contacted from God? Her faith. Yeah. Her faith did it. But this is what I want you to see. The power was always available. It wasn't Jesus that tracked her down. It wasn't Jesus that went to her house. It wasn't Jesus that said, part the crowd and let this sick woman get to me. It was her coming with something, and that something is the secret code that unlocks the blessings and power of God. Amen. Why didn't other people in the multitudes not receive? It wasn't because Jesus didn't want to. It wasn't because God didn't want to. It's because they brought the wrong code. I have a safe at home. It's got all my guns and different things in there. And it's a four-digit combination. I can't just go and put in any number and open that safe up. Caleb, all the time, it's got like 100 numbers. He's all the time trying to find out. And so I'll kind of let him get a first number or two. Then I'll go real fast and he has no idea. So he'll sit there and turn that thing and try to get it to work, but you don't know the code, do you? And you never will. I know the code to your safe, don't I? It's because I'm your dad. Hallelujah. But he'd try to put in numbers and try to look and stuff, and it doesn't work. It's the wrong code. But I want what's in there. Doesn't matter how bad you want it. You bring the wrong code, you don't get it. But I need what's in there. Doesn't matter how bad you need it. You bring the wrong code, you don't get it. She wanted her healing. She needed her healing. There were multitudes that wanted it and needed it and desired and hoped for it. They didn't get it. Why? Brought the wrong code. She brought the right code, and what happened? Ooh, something went out of him. You'd say this way almost. He was almost surprised something went out of him. Why? He's just walking along, and all these people are touching him. He's not experiencing anything. But then, bam, ooh, something's different. Something's different. What just happened? Something went out of me. I just felt power go out of me. Well, what's that mean? The power was always there. Do you know that if we brought in a person from year 1503, we brought him in here and we turned all the lights off and we closed up all, you did not just say that was her birthday, did you? Is that why she smacked you? Yeah. I figured something like that. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not what you're to do with your spouse. Let that be an example. That is walking out of love. I saw her hit him and I figured he must have said something along the lines of 1503. Anyways, imagine if someone came in at 1503 and we had all the lights off and we had them sit down and it's nighttime, and so even the little cracks of light that come in, it's dark in here and you can't see, and we say, okay, let's have church now. Would you read a portion of scripture to us? And they would say, I can't see it, you know, and they'd be scrambling for what they know, candles, whatever they used to use, certain kind of oil to heat, whatever they did in 1503. But they didn't have lights, right? And they'd be sitting here under these chandeliers. And they'd be sitting under these can lights and things that are track lights that are across the front here. And there'd be light switches in the back. And they'd sit there dumbfounded and say, can't do it. I can't see what to read. We'd be, turn the lights on, turn the lights on. They would have no idea what you're talking about. Now, here's the point. The power was always here. Power was always here. Until you teach them how to cooperate with the power, they don't make a draw on that power. The power walking down the road that day was always there. How do we know? Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that God's a giver of good and perfect things. He doesn't change. He has no variableness, no shadow of turning. He's always the same. His promises are always yes and amen. But the problem is, many Christians don't know how to cooperate with the power. They need the power, they want the power, they're hoping for the power, but they have the wrong code. Many people needed what that woman got that day, but only one drew out, made a draw on the power. Well, what was the draw on the power? He tells us in verse 34, daughter, your faith. Your faith, your faith. What did he say? Your faith caused you to contact God, which caused your world to be changed forever.
Amen.
All things are possible through our faith. Think of the possibilities. They're endless because it's all things. There's no ceiling on what we can believe God for. Because it's not up to Him. It's up to our belief. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Hallelujah. See, that person can sit there and get mad. I don't know how. There's no power. There's no light in here. And the whole time we know there's power. So flip the switch. There's always power with God. Again, I want to show you this because you got to get it in your heart that faith is the realm that contacts God. But in Matthew chapter 15, in verse 21, it says, Jesus went and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, one translation calls her the Syrophoenician woman, came out of the coast and cried unto him. And this is what she said, have mercy on me, Lord. Why? My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, if you have children, when your kids go through stuff, you feel it. You feel it, right? When your kids go through stuff, you say, I'd gladly switch spots with you. If I could, I'd gladly switch spots with you. So you don't have to experience and go through what you're going through. It weighs on a parent. So why do I say that? You can imagine what this woman's feeling. Her daughter is possessed and controlled by the devil. She's crying unto him. She's desperate. You need to get that in your head before you see how Jesus responded to her. Because do you believe that God's good? Amen. Do you? You believe that God's good, don't you? We know that Jesus died on the cross. We know God's good. We know that God's good all the time. He's never not good. He's always good. He's always loving. He's always merciful. He's always kind and compassionate. His promises are always yes. It's important that you know that, but it's also important that you know how desperate she was. The feelings, the thoughts that she had concerning her child and how she had heard of Jesus and thought, people are getting their lives changed by this guy. Surely he must be the one that can help me. And so she cries unto him and says, my daughter is vexed with a devil. Look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. When I preach this stuff, man, I get chills from head to toe because the force of faith in learning it. So picture this, people, because you already told me you know God's good. And Jesus was just the picture of God on the earth. He only did what God did, only said what God did. John chapter 5 and verse 19 and 30 tell us that he was a walking God robot. What do I mean? Jesus was God on the earth. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus. And she cries out to him. What is she saying? I need help. I want help. I desire help. I'm hoping for help. And look what he does. He ignores her. Now, you can't say back to me, it's because he's mean. It's because he's not caring, because we already established he's not mean and he is caring. But wanting, hoping, and needing, and crying, and moaning, and groaning does not move heaven. It does not unlock the safe. You can stand there at the throne all day and put a combination of doubt in and turn the number back to crying and weeping and wailing and turn it back to doubt and unbelief and worry and fear and pull on that thing and need it and want it and it'll stay locked. He said, I'm not even going to deal with you like this. Our loving Jesus ignored a woman in desperation. Oh, and it gets better. And his disciples came unto Jesus saying, send her away. She's crying after us now. So what happened? Jesus ignored her. So I bit my tongue. Ow. So I slow down. I'm talking, I guess. That was the first. I'd never done that while I was preaching. And ouch. Oh, that better not affect my eating today. I've got a list of things that happen on the Super Bowl. And most of them involve this. Said, his disciples came and said, send her away. She cries out, so what'd she do? She said, well, he's going to ignore me. I'll go to the second best thing, which is the ones that are with him. And what'd they do? Get away from us. And she hears us. She hears them now saying to Jesus, this woman's nuts. Please send her away. She's desperate, people. She's desperate. Well, they must have thought, heck, if he's ignoring her, we're not going to have anything to do with her either. So she's standing there in desperation. But remember what I said about faith? Faith doesn't quit. Amen. Faith will press until it breaks through heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. So look what he said. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not sent, but only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What's he saying? She's a Canaanite. She's a Syrophoenician. She's not Jewish. I'm not here for you. So That's what he's saying. He's telling the truth. He's saying to her, I'm not here for you. So now she gets to be ignored by Jesus. Remember her condition. Desperate parent. Wants nothing more than her daughter to be well. And Jesus is saying, doesn't even acknowledge her. Disciples don't acknowledge her. And now Jesus said, I'm not here for you. So she gets to hear this. But you remember what I said about faith? Faith doesn't quit. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. As a parent, can't you feel it? The desperation and the wanting of her daughter. She's like, I don't know anybody else to go to. And he's not paying her any attention. In fact, he's saying, I'm not here to help you. What's she trying to do? Get God in her situation. What are Christians trying to do? Get God to move on them. Why was everybody thronging in touch with Jesus? They wanted God to move. But only one got the power, even though the power was always there. One cooperated with it. She worshiped, saying, Lord, help me. Imagine the desperation. And he said to her, gets worse for her, it's not meet or it's not right to take the children's bread. Remember he said, I'm here for the children of Israel. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Well, think about this. You know, when I make Caleb and Abby their food, Court mostly makes it, but when we make food for them, you know, we don't take their meal and give it to Willow, our 4-year-old black lab. Oh, no, you don't get to eat, kids. We're giving it to Willow. No, they get the main meal, and sometimes they get to get some crumbs and some leftovers. She gets some crumbs and some leftovers at times. That's the right order. And he says, well, what was the children's bread? The children's bread was healing. Healing belonged to the children of Israel. He said, it's not right for me to bring what I brought for the children of Israel and cast it to a dog. He now calls her and likens her to a dog, a mutt. So now let's go down the list. He ignored her. The disciples ignored her. Then he says, I'm not here for you. Now he calls her a dog. You would think she'd get the picture. You're not leaving with your situation changed. But what does faith not do? Faith doesn't quit. Hallelujah. It's not right to take the children's bread, cast it to the dogs. And look what she said. She said, truth, Lord, that's true. Aw, so sweet. I love hearing babies. Hallelujah. Said, truth, Lord. That's true, that's right. Everybody, come on, eyes are up here, let's go. Truth, Lord. I know the baby's a lot cuter than me, but that shows up here, praise God. She said, truth, Lord, the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What's she saying? I don't need a whole meal from you. I just need a crumb. She said, you're right. I am a dog in comparison to the children. They're the children. We're dogs. You're not here to give me the meal. She said, truth, Lord. So now, here's the thing. She came to him crying. She went to the disciples crying. That was two times. Then she fell down and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. And he didn't respond to her. He has nothing to do with her. And then verse 28 says, Jesus answered her. So now he's paying attention to her. Now she's got heaven's attention. Now she's got an inroad with the power supply. Amen. And he said to her, now, before I tell you what he said, most of you know what happens here, but before I tell you how all of a sudden did things change? Because up until this point, he's ignoring her. The disciples are ignoring her. He's kind of putting her in her place, telling her, what are you coming after me for? You're not a Jew. See, what he's trying to do to her because of his mercy and goodness, we know he doesn't want her daughter to have a vexation of a devil. We know that. But we also know God can't just do whatever God wants to do. If he could have, he'd have took care of that devil. Because God wants no child to have a devil. But Jesus is bound by spiritual laws, and spiritual laws are such that it doesn't just fall off a tree like a ripe cherry tree and hit you in the head. It didn't for the woman with the issue of blood. She had to press and get in the secret code, which was the secret code was the right combination was faith. Amen. And finally, Jesus answered her and says, woman, great is your faith. What'd she finally do after he said the dogs? She then stood in front of the safe that had all that she needed behind those doors and started putting in the combination F A I T-H. Ching. That's what happened. And the door opened. And Jesus said, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She needed her daughter to be made whole the whole time. The power was there the whole time. But she didn't know how to turn the light switch on. Come on, person from 1503, just turn the lights on. I don't know how. I don't know how. Okay, then you're going to sit in the dark. A lot of Christians are sitting in the dark. A lot of Christians are sitting at the safe, tugging on it in desperation. Open, I need this. That's not how God moves. That's not how God operates. Say, well, then he's not merciful and he's not loving. No. He's bound by his word. You think he wanted that? You think he wants all those people that were touching him and to go away empty-handed? No. Got a few minutes left. Remember over in Mark chapter 6, after Jesus had just come from Mark chapter 4, where he calmed the storm that was hurricane proportions. Then in Mark chapter 5, he gets off that boat and casts the devil out of the person. And then he's met by Jairus says, my little girl's this at home. And then he says, I'm going to go heal her. But then he runs into the woman with the issue of blood. Basically, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 5, he calms the storm by his faith, you know, casts the devil out, raises a little girl from the dead, and heals a woman with an incurable disease. What was I saying? His power was on display. His power was on display. It was evident. It was there. And then he goes into Mark chapter 6. And the Bible says he could do no mighty work there except lay his hands on a few sick folk and heal them. And you think, wait a minute, did the power get shut off? No, the power never gets shut off. We walk in here and the lights are off. We don't come here and say, oh, you know, the power must be turned off at the box. That's not what you think when you walk into a dark room. You think, oh, it's dark in here. I know how to turn it on. I'm going to cooperate with the light switch. And turn it on, right? And you get lights. Well, it's Mark chapter 6. What happened? The power was flowing, Mark chapter 5 and 4. The power was flowing, Mark chapter 6. He said he could do no mighty work there. Well, the Bible goes and tells us. What were those people doing? Just putting in the wrong combination. It said he marveled at their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. Go. We got just to show. Mark 6, and we'll close with this. Mark 6. I dare you to believe God. I dare you to get Syrophoenician woman-like faith and woman with Yeshua blood. I dare you to contact God in 2019. I dare you to do it. You need healing? I dare you to go after it. You need prosperity? I dare you to go after it. You need a situation change? I dare you to go after it. Why? All things are possible. It's available to you. Mark 6 and verse 1, he went out from there, came to his own country. Now remember, he went from thence. When it says he went from thence, you got to know what the thence is. What's the thence? Chapter 4 and chapter 5. What happened in chapter 4 and chapter 5? We told you. He calmed a storm of hurricane proportions, cast the devil out of a gentleman, raised a little girl from the dead, and healed a woman that had a disease of 12 years. What was happening? Power was flowing. The power of God. He gets to Mark chapter 6. He went came to his own country. His disciples followed him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing were astonished, saying, from where does this man have these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not just the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and Judah, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work. What happened? The power got plugged. Yeah. He could do there no mighty work, except lay his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Well, he was doing more than that in chapter 4 and chapter 5. He was doing mighty works. Why? Verse 6 says, and he marveled. Notice what he didn't say. I'm tired of this power stuff. I'm getting bored. I think in my own hometown, let's tone it down a notch. Let's scale back the power. He can't scale back the power. Why? He never changes. If he's power one day, he has to be power the next. If he's healing one day, he has to be healing the next. If he's supernatural provision one day, he has to be at the next. He's bound by sameness. He's never different. The same God that parted the Red Sea is the same God that's with you now. The same God that spared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace and Daniel in the lion's den that helped David slay the giant is the same God that's with you. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same spirit that caused Jesus to be in hell and defeat hell and come up from the grave, the Bible says, dwells in you. Amen. The same spirit, the same. What would that do for your health and your body if you actually got the revelation and cooperated with that and believed that the same power that took Jesus out of the grave is the same power that's going to cure me of this incurable thing? What would you do if you believed it? It's the same. He's the same. He's power all day, every day. The only thing that stops the power is if you turn the light switch off. That's it. The only thing that keeps the safe from opening up, every time I put the right numbers in, it opens for me. It's amazing. When I put the wrong numbers in, it won't open. He could there do no mighty works except lay his hands on a few sick folk and heal them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. What was the wrong code? Doubt and unbelief. Why did the power all of a sudden get stopped? Why did the power all of a sudden get shut off? Because the people trying to get the power weren't cooperating with the power. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you here this morning. The Syrophoenician woman, the woman with the issue of blood, had their worlds changed. Some of us need our worlds changed. Need a complete overhaul, brand new. Some of us need to start believing maybe we don't need a physical thing or finances are a pressing issue, but we need to be able to bring our faith to change this town, to change this county, to change this state. I mean, come on. Change our families, change our workplaces. Daring to believe God, actually pressing through the realms of heaven and getting to the throne and getting a touch from heaven. How do you get a touch from heaven? Faith. Faith is how you contact God. It's not, you can't contact Him any other way. Any other way. It's how you got born again, by the way. Amen. You do realize that, right?
Yes, amen.
Now, I'm closing my Bible, and that means I'm kind of done. But I'm just going to finish what I'm saying. This is overtime now. Oh, by the way, the Patriots will win 38-24. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. And so, I know you've already turned in your cards and everything. 38-24. Peanut gallery, shut it. Just shut it. It's going to happen. Praise God. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. 38:24. You know, the Bible says by faith, get this now, by faith, Ephesians 2:8, actually the verse reads this way, for by grace are you saved. What's the grace? The power. Through what? Faith. It wasn't God's faith that got you saved. You didn't get saved because God chose to make you saved. You got saved because you had a January 10th, 2002 moment like I did, where I heard about what God did for me and I believed it and then I received it. So the Bible says, listen to what your faith already did for you. I think I preached a whole sermon just on this point one time. Because people think, oh, I can't have faith like that. Oh yeah, you can. You know what the faith that is in the inside of you already did for you? It translated you from death to life, spiritually. You are spiritually dead on your way to hell. You believed in Jesus. He didn't do the believing for you. You have to believe in Him. Romans 10:9 says, if you shall confess with your mouth and if you shall believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Whosoever will believe in Him, that's a you problem. But you did, didn't you? Look what your faith did. It raised you from the dead spiritually and gave you brand new life. It obliterated the power of darkness and sent you into the power of His dear Son. Your faith did that. His power flowed through faith, but your faith did it. Imagine if you could extend a big pipeline of faith to Him towards your finances, towards this church, towards your family, towards your body, towards different things. Same power. Same power.
Amen.
There's a chorus, the same. How's it go? The same. The same power that conquered the grave lives in me. lives in me. Did you just sing that? When you're at home, the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. Lives in me. That same power. The same power. Praise God. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. Oh, Lord, the force of faith. We've not even scratched the surface of what it can do in our lives. Of where we can take this and where we can reach for and what we can accomplish. Father, we need you to move in Cattaraugus County. We need you to move in Chautauqua County. We need you to move in our families. We need you to move in our finances. We need you to move in our bodies and in our minds and our jobs. We need you to do it. Well, Lord, we found out how to contact you. There's only one way to contact you. It doesn't matter how desperate we are. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter how hurting we are. We saw some desperate people that didn't get a touch from heaven until they contacted heaven. And we learned how they contacted, both cases. Faith. Lord, I pray for each and every person under the sound of my voice that their eyes would be open to this. Father, that they would be like the 23-year-old young guy that I was back in 2002 that learned about this thing called faith, had no idea there was something in the world, a force that existed that could change darkness to light, sickness to health, poverty to prosperity, depression to joy. I had no idea. When I learned about it, I became so thrilled with this subject. And Father, I dare say, by being thrilled and being excited, now Father, I'm not saying I've made it or I've arrived, I haven't. But I've benefited from the faith that I do know. I've seen miracles. I've seen situations personally in my life. Absolute, abject poverty turn into prosperity. Sickness and disease and wrong in doctor's reports, bad doctor's reports, turn into complete nothings. I've seen it, Father, through faith. And I pray that you would light a fire, that people's eyes would be open to this force and this subject, and they would dive in, begin to study it. Because, Father, there are principles. There are things we have to learn how to cooperate that we can learn through the Word. And, Father, we teach them around here, and we have resources to help people with that. I pray they'd get a hunger for it. You said, they that hunger and thirst will be filled. So I pray that for each and every person. I thank you that it'll come to pass in their life. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, we talked about your faith translating you from darkness to light. Everybody that's under the sound of my voice right now, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, I know the answer. It's heaven. And if you say, how could you be so sure, Pastor Mike? Well, it's because I've learned to cooperate with His Word. He told me how to get to heaven. And He said, there's two qualifications you need to go to heaven. There's only two. Church attendance, not one of them. Having your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds is not one of them. Giving generously to charity, that's not another one of them. He said you must believe and receive. You believe Him, believe that Jesus was real, He died and rose again, and ask Him to come in your heart. That's receiving Him. That's the qualifications. I want to give everybody an opportunity to receive Jesus. I won't embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't ask anybody to stand up or come forward. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Well, Jesus is the way to heaven, believing and receiving Him. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I want to. I want to go to heaven. I do believe in Jesus. I believe He's real. I don't understand everything, but I believe He's real. Well, if you're here this morning, you say, I believe that, but I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Well, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Him. And again, I won't embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If there's anybody in here, you could say, Pastor, I've never officially received Jesus. I've gone to church. I've been a good person, but I've never asked Him into my life. And you want to do that this morning? Would you just raise your hand? Is there anybody at all in this service that wants to receive the Lord that's never done that? Anybody at all? Just lift your hand high in the air and I'll have you put it right back down. You're not joining this church or anything like that. You're just making a declaration that you believe in Jesus. Is there anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, but if by chance there's someone in here maybe that's shy or doesn't want to raise their hand, it's not about the raising the hand that gets them saved. It's the believing and receiving in Jesus. If there's anybody listening by live stream that I can't see or listening in the archives on the future, you've never received the Lord, it's simple. All you have to do is cry out to Him and just mean this prayer from the bottom of your heart and say, Lord, I believe in You. I believe you did die on the cross, and I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart, and I take you as my Lord and my Savior. And if you'll do that and you'll mean that and pray it, He'll save you. He made it simple. Religion makes it hard. God makes it simple because He loves us. Can we all just praise Him real quick? Father, we thank You. We bless You and magnify You. We thank You, Lord. We worship You, Father. We praise Your name. We thank You for this force. I don't want to go to heaven and have You say there was so much more. There was so much more for Your church. There was so much more for You personally. No. I want to press upon the ceilings of all things being possible. I want to give that a run for its money. I mean it. Lord, I thank You for each and every person here this morning. We praise You and give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you run out of here, don't forget, we have fellowship over in the old sanctuary. If you go through the doors and to the left, there's some... What do we got today? Broccoli soup, broccoli cheese soup, chili and stew? Woohoo, that sounds like Super Bowl food. And don't forget, we got that. And then Wednesday night, we have service at 6:30. Let's stand to our feet and give God praise one last time. Father, we love You and bless You. We praise You and magnify You. Lord, we love You. Hallelujah, we thank You. And before you're dismissed, let me just say, when Tom Brady hoists the MVP trophy tonight, I want you all to think about Pastor Mike. You are dismissed. Your presence now here with us, the sound of praise, all in a name.